Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Chosen. Happy Tuesday. Speaking of choose. Welcome back to The Toast and happy Juice Day. And speaking of my favorite Jewess, it's Jacqueline Follet.
It's two's Jews.
It's two's Jews. That's for day, I'm sure.
It's actually three's Jews because Brew is here for the moment podcasting with us. Brew has entered his teenager era. Like now when we wake up in the morning, like Brew stays in bed. Brew can't rise and grind before 9 a.m.
Waking up in the morning.
He takes his breakfast in bed now. He's just super cozy. And he's always like, when we get up to do like a 6 a.m. bottle, like he always gets up at that time and expects his breakfast at that time.
But oh, it's these like
days, like, yeah, no, like, oh, great. I've been waiting. These days, he's the last one to rise in the house. Isn't that interesting?
You know what? They grow up so fast.
They grow up so fast. So enjoy this time while you have it, La Tour de Lou. How's Roe?
So yesterday, you know, we were hoping for an accident-free day. It didn't happen.
We already started the day with an accident, though, you said.
Yesterday, yeah. Today, we have no accidents. Now, the day is young.
We need a board. 0 days without accidents so far. But, Claudia, your expectations are so
No, by the way, like, I don't get discouraged, but, like, that's the goal I'm working towards, like, a day without accidents.
For sure. I feel like it should be a kind of a while before that happens. Are you using wee-wee pads?
No, and it shouldn't be a while. It should be, I'm gonna say a week, because he was, you know, we dropped him off at a trainer for a couple of weeks and he was having no accidents.
He was in a routine there.
A change of environment is expected, you know.
For such a young pup.
We're still learning one another. So I'm not feeling discouraged, but that is a goal. I think when training, like, it's good to have goals. That's my goal.
Okay, I love your goal.
Thanks.
And I am rooting for Roe.
Now, speaking of goals, yesterday I was dressed like a slut, like the whore of Babylon. Today I'm giving athletic.
Explain yourself. You're done being a slut? It wasn't the life for you?
It was the life for me, actually. I really enjoyed kind of the slutty era I was in yesterday, just sort of walking down the street, everybody's eyes on turdy. But, you know, I dress for the day. Yesterday required me to be, you know, whore-esque. Today is giving athleticism because after we wrap up the toast, I'm doing something insane. I'm wearing a sports bra.
Okay, what is she doing? I mean, she could be going to a workout class. She could be training with Hillary. She could be meeting with Tom, the running coach. She's doing 5K training.
Today I have my very first in-person, like, training with a running coach. Like, we're literally running, like, outside, question mark. I didn't even know what to wear. I was so confused. Like, I've never worked out outside in my life, let alone run. So I'm wearing a sports bra. I'm wearing my Reebok leggings, my Nike socks, my Hokas, and an Aloe yoga t-shirt. What with this merch on top. I needed something because it's chilly, but
it's
just
merch, Shirty.
I wanted vintage. Something that gave, like, you know, that vintage collegiate athleticism energy. Gym. And I thought this Heather Gray was giving that. So, yes, pulled from the archives.
Pulled from the archives. I have so much archival merch. And there was a pile of merch sitting in my studio, which, by the way, I have now, like, bins in my studio. Like, things are going into bins. And I'm going to set up all my old merch up here. But I had pulled some things that we almost made. Remember I showed you while you were here? Frightening.
We have some samples in the studio over here of things we never made. Like, some of the ugliest shit on the planet. Like, thank God. What were we thinking?
No, the thing is, we got the samples and we were like, no, it's not like we were ever on the fence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like those things were ever almost made once we saw what they would look like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I just feel like we've been slaying the merch recently. So I feel good about where we're
slaying
at.
Slaying the merch. And that word on the street is that there are still some baby pink sets left.
I heard that too, actually, but I can't reveal my sources. I can neither confirm nor deny. You just have to go to shoptoastmerch.com to check out for yourself.
To check out for yourself.
Okay, so big week we have.
Do we?
Yeah.
In what sense?
I'm meeting with my running coach.
Right.
The Love is Blind reunion, which I just found out is not being filmed live. It was already recorded, but it's being aired live 9 p.m. on Netflix, which I kind of like.
I love that. Like, a viewing experience for us. We can be a part of something that is technologically sound.
Yes. Hopefully they don't have, you know, issues.
I think that's a great idea.
Me too.
Also, I did something crazy last night.
Crack?
Crazier.
Meth.
I watched The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Holy shit. She's nuts.
So I finished catching up with Summer House. I'm caught up on Vanderpump Rules. I'm just in like my TV turned on era. And I was like, okay, what have I been wanting to watch? So I got back into the season of Beverly Hills.
That's so crazy. I literally stopped watching after like episode 2 and I haven't really heard much about it. All I saw was a preview for next week's reunion where Andy Cohen says, all right, Kyle, another $1 million question. What's going on between you and Morgan Wade? You mean to tell me they haven't found out yet?
Right. No, I don't think this season is particularly good, but I was just looking for some content to watch. I had an hour or so. So
I am curious. I've been catching up. I am curious, like, where name them comes from, because Claudia, I love it. I don't know. I'm obsessed.
Claudia, I just watched it.
Name them.
Last night, and it was an infuriating scene. Like, Sutton is being insane. Like,
I don't care.
You know, like, when you're arguing with someone, oh no, I'm sure it's like a great TikTok sound or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, when you're arguing with someone and they keep saying the same thing, and yes, it's like, first of all, stop saying the same thing. It's really annoying. And two, let me fucking speak.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, for the culture, name them.
Oh, has that become a sound that's really funny? Yeah. She keeps saying name them, name them. And it's like, okay, first of all, stop saying that. And second of all, can you let me?
Yeah, name them.
It was really, and her facial expression as she said it, like, Kyle keeps saying Sutton was off, and Sutton's like really offended by that, but Sutton was off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you're kind of like insane for doing that.
I know. So maybe I'll continue with that, except I think Summer House or VPR is on tonight. So probably back to regular scheduled programming.
Vanderpump Rules is on tonight. We have made, you know, just wanted to update everyone. An idea that was sort of hatched on the toast live in Technicolor was Jackie and I were thinking about throwing a celebratory party for our 6-year anniversary of the toast inception, which is coming up, you know, in a mere few weeks. And we have made significant progress in the planning for the party. And I'm actually now feeling like really excited about it. I need to find a dress.
We're throwing a party. I need to find a dress too. We're also, what one of my ideas was that I will come to fruition, which will make it exciting for others, is we're going to professionally vlog it. And what I like to call a documentary. We're making a documentary of the party.
I love that.
Yeah, for the Patreon. Sorry, I should have made that clear.
Yeah, no, sorry, HBO, this is a place Max of business. This is a place.
No, no.
Oh. You know, I mean, if HBO Max wants to purchase after Patreon gets the first exclusive, we're down.
Yeah. Like, we're going to vlog the whole party, but I think it's not going to be us and our phones. Like, I think we should have videographers. Therefore, it's a documentary.
We are kind of, like, sparing no expense for this party. Should we have, like, haute couture gowns made at an atelier in Italy?
So, shoptoastmerch.com?
Pretty much. Oh, my God. We should have, yeah.
Gowns made out of our merch.
Like, all the, by the way, even the samples we didn't make.
Like, a tapestry.
A quilt.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. No, like, I'm literally going to wear, like, a custom off-white gown. You know how Hailey Bieber's wedding veil said, till death do us part? It's literally going to say, like, the toast.
Yeah.
We are sparing no expense.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. So that's an exciting project, both personal and professional.
Speaking of projects, professional and personal, I heard a rumor that the redheads after, you know, the redheads are the type of gals who say they're going to do something, and then they fucking do it. Because it appears as though you've hired a social media manager.
Yes, it appears as though we have found our match. You know, it was giving America's Next Top Social Media Manager. And we've met a wonderful gal. And I think it's going to be the start of a great relationship. So you might see the content really popping off soon. And don't be alarmed.
And don't be tardy. And don't be tardy. Because it might never be too late. But, you know, you don't want to be a loser.
No, it's never been too late to join the Redheads. And, you know, that's something that I'm really passionate about. But if there were to be a great time to join the Redheads, it would be like when we're about to kind of dominate social media and the conversation online.
And the conversation online. Can I say something like kind of crazy?
Sure.
I do feel like it's too late. Like, what have you been doing? Like, we've been literally saying for years to join the Redheads. Like, yeah, it's never too late, hypothetically. Look, Claudia,
okay, imagine this. Imagine someone, like, had a lot going on at the time. Maybe they were, like, having multiple children, didn't have time to read every month, keep up.
Fair.
What I will say, though, is what we can do as redheads to sort of facilitate anyone joining is something that we've been meaning to do for a while, which is a trailer episode for our podcast page,
yeah,
where we introduce ourselves. Because we've got a lot of girls on the show. We got a lot of personalities, and you might not know everyone who's on it. It could be intimidating, a podcast with four hosts, like if you don't know them.
You do definitely need to do that.
So we will do a trailer episode where we introduce ourselves. We'll each talk about our favorite books, what kind of books we like to read, some facets of our personality, our personal life, and, you know, we'll do our usual classic redheads banter, mm-hmm. so you can get to know the dynamic.
I actually started last night my book club's book for the month. We actually postponed. Everybody was just like not available for the date that we had chosen. And we usually have a rule, you know, no rescheduling. If you can't come, you can't come. But literally, like, nobody was able to come. So rescheduled, which was good because I hadn't even started the book.
What's the book?
First Lie Wins.
Oh, I've been seeing it, and I've seen good things. Yeah,
it's a Reese's Choice. I'm only about 10%.
Don't hold it against the book.
I'm only about 10% in, but it reminds me a lot of that book that you made me read, The Social Climber by Amanda Pellegrino. Yeah. Remember? It feels very similar. So I don't know if it's going to be.
So that means I would like it.
I don't know if it's going to be. I'm only 10% in.
Cool. Our book for this month on the Redheads, which is also why it's a great month to join the Redheads, is Bye Baby by Carola Lovering, which might mean nothing to you, but
Love,
Carola Lovering
words.
Wrote Tell Me Lies, which is
that's
that show
I
on Hulu.
Yeah, I just got that book in PR.
Oh, so if you want to join the Redheads, it's
do
not
you need
too late
a copy?
I kind of do need a copy for my bookshelf. Will you mail it to me?
I
don't
will.
Have to buy one.
I actually got two. I'm on like two PR lists. We've become like really influential voices in literary, like, and I'm being dead serious about that. Like, people are dying to get their books in our hands.
Yeah, for sure. Because if we love a book, we'll let them know.
No, we like, Jackie won't take credit for it, but Jackie literally invented the book It Happened One Summer. Not when you read it. It was a joint effort, but it was your recommendation. And then when I read it, like, you had recommended it to me. We talked about it. Like, you invented that book. Tessa Bailey, like, she owes you a check.
Well, I have to give credit where it's due. Margot almost chose it for the Redhead. She was between two books, and that was one of them. And I wound up reading it because she had put it on my radar. I don't know if she had read it yet. And in hindsight, she should have chosen for the Redheads because that would have been a much more iconic episode than We Are the Brennans. No offense.
The worst fucking book on the planet. You know what I just put together? She read it. Read it.
Read it.
That's what the app. Yeah, Reddit is like, oh, I read it on Reddit. I never put that together. It's kind of like an amazing name.
For an app where you read things.
Right. No, it makes a lot of sense.
Actually, Kindle should be called Reddit.
Ugh, you know, I lost my Kindle.
Classic turdy.
It's like my third one. And you know that the Kindle Oasis is discontinued.
What's new?
That's the thing. There were rumors that they discontinued it because they're coming out with a bigger and better one. Nothing is new. I don't know what to do. I'm reading on this old Paperwhite that I hate.
I like the Paperwhite. It's okay.
I miss the buttons. The buttons are everything.
I'm sure you could get an old Kindle on Amazon.
You could buy like a refurbished one. I just feel like that's a way to spend money on something that's broken.
No, maybe.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm actually like really not a fan. I love a deal. Like, I'm always going to be like one for a deal. In tech, this whole refurbished thing where you can like buy an opened box of like a TV that's already been opened from Best Buy. To me, that's just a way to spend like half the money on a broken TV. Like, you're going to end up spending more.
I just want to say one time I did do open box on a TV from Best Buy, literally, and it was so inexpensive and it was a perfectly fine TV and it was a win-win. Just that one
time.
Yeah,
okay. I shouldn't have used the TV as an example because I actually think buying like a refurbished TV is fine. Like, how broken can a TV be? There's literally one button. But like computers, phones, Kindles, like, I don't believe in it.
Oh, I feel like Kindle is one of those things where it's okay.
You think?
Because it's so low tech. Yeah, I think you're okay.
Or how about, like, is anybody in listening to this podcast selling, like, a rarely used Kindle Oasis? I'll buy it from you. How about that? Give it to a woman.
Don't you have the hookup at Amazon? They don't have some Oasis in the back room?
Last time I was at Amazon Live, I was, like, kind of putting it out there. Like, oh, no, I lost my Kindle. Oh, no, they're being discontinued. Waiting for one to just sort of materialize in front of me, and it didn't happen.
Maybe you weren't being overt enough.
I think we both know I was.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Let's see, maybe one will materialize now that you've made your intentions clear.
I feel like something so crazy is happening right now.
We're sitting cross-legged?
Well, I guess that is kind of nuts of me, but no. We're both drinking coffee, and I feel like for years, well, like 1 year, because I just started drinking coffee, you really kind of like make fun of like how my coffees are basically milkshakes.
Okay.
Look at your coffee.
It's the color of my outfit.
It's literally milkshake.
Yours
look at mine.
Yours is really dark.
Yeah, because I'm literally like moving to the Congo and, you know, drinking coffee wherever they make coffee.
Straight from the vine?
Yeah, like I'm obsessed. Like I'm such a coffee head.
So what's in your coffee?
Same as always, the Starbucks jugs. I'm a coffee head and I'm drinking Starbucks.
Jug.
Starbucks jug, you know, the cold brew medium roast. It's not cold brew, sorry. It's just iced coffee in a jug from the grocery store, medium roast. Coffee Mate sugar-free hazelnut, little splash, one splendor.
It must be the Coffee Mate that doesn't provide a lot of color.
Well, I just don't put a lot anymore. I've been slowly pulling back. I'm sort of kind of getting used to the taste of coffee.
That's nice.
Where is coffee made? Is it Africa?
All over. Yeah, there's...
Oh, is it?
Yeah, Rebecca was just posting pictures from her honeymoon. She was having fresh coffee in Uganda, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
but also,
no,
like,
right.
There's coffee in Colombia.
Colombia, that's what I was thinking, not the Congo. Oh, my God, how dumb am I?
I'm sure there's coffee in the Congo somewhere.
That's the thing. There's coffee everywhere.
That's the thing. It just depends what kind of coffee you like and where you like to get your coffee from.
Right. And remember that episode of The Kardashians where Khloe became obsessed, like, addicted to that? Was it Colombian?
What was it?
Colombian coffee. And she like drove around all these neighborhoods looking, and she rolls down her window and she's like, do you know where the Colombian coffee shop is? And the lady's like, I'm deaf. Do you remember that?
No.
Classic. Those were the days.
That'll be you soon.
Literally.
So we've got our coffees.
We've got our coffees. We're all caught up. We've got each other.
Oh, something that you've been texting me about that I wanted to just like talk to you about in person, but we might as well just iron it out right now, is tomorrow.
Yeah, no, don't bring it up because I have something to tell you later.
Okay, sorry about that. So I guess now, without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five Stories that you need to know are brought to you by Etsy. So we're here to tell you that there's no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift, because now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy is here to take the stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. Now it's easy to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life, like the pickleballer, the jazz fan, the Zen seeker, the artist, or the pasta lover. For me, the golfer. I didn't realize there's so many like things you can customize in your golf game, and Etsy's such a great place. Ben was talking about, what are those things called? Jackie, do you know what I'm talking about? Like when you need to move your ball, so you put like this little disc underneath it in golf. It's not a tee. It's like the little circular ones. Whatever, you can customize them with like a photo. And Ben was like, where do I do it? I'm like, try Etsy. So next time, if you're looking for like the man in your life who loves to golf, you want to get him like custom tees or custom balls, Etsy has a million great sellers who'll do that for you. From 90s nostalgia and mixology to reality TV and gaming, there's something for everyone on Etsy. And there's really just like a lot of pressure around gift giving. And if you have a hard time thinking of ideas for a husband, a family member, you know, a sister / co-host, sometimes you can get super stressed trying to find the perfect thing. But now with Gift Mode on Etsy, you can search hundreds of gifting personas and find so many incredible items. And we actually just found a great gift for... I found a great gift for Ben on Etsy, and Ben is also like just new to Etsy, and he was talking actually about Etsy the other night, and he's like, it's so amazing. I'm like, girl, like we know, like Ben is truly too late to everything. So
it's never too late to get on Etsy.
If you need to find the perfect gift, don't panic. Try Gift Mode now. Today's episode is also brought to you by Caraway. Spring is here, so if you're resetting for the spring, do so with Caraway's non-toxic cookware, the perfect way to kick off spring cleaning. With so many collections to explore, there's sure to be a Caraway for every kind of cook. Okay, by the way, I'm bringing like a whole new energy to the Caraway ads because, you know, it was a slow rollout for me. My kitchen has recently gotten bigger, so I was able to acquire more Caraway tings. So now I have do you have the kitchen block and the wooden utensils?
Yes, just got that. I'm an
sick
elite chef.
Me too.
What I also just got that I need to bring this energy to the Caraway ads is their steamer baskets. They have two, large and small, and I've been making my own baby food and steaming the food in my Caraway. I was using my Caraway pots, but I was using a crap steaming basket. Finally got the Caraway one. I know now that my entire process is non-toxic. That feels good for mama.
We also got the cutting boards, and Ben was like hesitant because he loves his cutting boards. I said, first of all, these are disgusting, the ones we've had. They can be really toxically made, and also like they're disgusting, so let's move on. And he's really been open to it.
Caraway shamed my cutting boards. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize what I was doing. And they were like, we see your cutting boards and we're just going to send you some of ours because yours are unacceptable. And they were right. I can't believe I didn't notice.
Visit carawayhome.com/toasty to take advantage of this limited time offer of 10% off your next purchase. The deal is exclusive for toasters. So visit carawayhome.com/toasty or use code toasty at checkout. Caraway, it's non-toxic cookware made modern. Today's episode is also brought to you by Babbel. The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But that might not be in the cards for you this year, and you can still learn a language the second best way. That's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024. The science-backed language app, Babbel, is actually working. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Use Babbel. They have quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 2,000 language experts to start you speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. They're designed by real people for real conversations. Their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. So if you're planning a trip this summer, now's a great time to just spend some time on Babbel, whether you're going to Italy or Spain, brushing up on the language. One, it's a more fun way to travel when you have like a decent grasp on the language. And two, it's just a little bit safer. You know how to ask for directions. You won't get lost. Studies from Yale, Michigan University, and others continue to prove that Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. So here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for Toast listeners at babbel.com/toast. That's 55% at babbel.com/toast, BABBEL.com/toast. Rules and restrictions may apply. Head to babbel.com/TOAST.
Thank you, Claudia.
An absolute pleasure and an honor.
Our first story, Al Pacino is addressing his offensive and hurtful Oscars Best Picture blunder, though it wasn't offensive and hurtful, but it was confusing.
By the way, it was just a weird moment, but apologies were not
necessary. Apologies seem to be in order for him because he has broken his silence over the furor over his presentation of the coveted Best Picture Award because it was little anticlimactic.
Sorry. Did you watch it?
Yes.
Who does Al Pacino look like to you?
Al Pacino?
Yeah, but like, come on.
Nothing.
Ben's dad.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, he does.
When he was walking out, I'm like, Ben, does anybody tell your dad he looks like Al Pacino? And Ben was like, yes, actually.
Oh, that is funny.
It was giving Bruce.
Well, he was there to present the top honor, and his delivery was just not the greatest.
He
buried the lead. he announced that he would be announcing Best Picture, and then he just opened the envelope and said, I see Oppenheimer. My eyes see Oppenheimer.
In his defense, it's a little strange because there isn't, I don't think, a package like there is for every other award, like the nominees are, then they go to this video because throughout the night they give trailers of every film. So by the time the last award, you don't need to do the package. So it was, you know, in his defense, now he should have said, and the Oscar goes to, and then made a meal of it so people know that it's being announced in this moment. He just kind of was like, I'm here to do this. And opened the envelope.
He's like, I'm here to do this. I guess I'll open the envelope now. My eyes see Oppenheimer.
Yeah, it was weird. But, you know, historically, things have gone worse for the Best Picture. So I feel like as long as you're not reading the wrong curd, you're good.
Yeah, plus the Oscar producers didn't start playing the music immediately. And I feel that helped. That added to the general confusion. And then once they started playing and they panned to the audience members, but like he kind of flubbed it. But also if the producers knew that there isn't going to be a package and this is the real envelope, it's not like a gag that he's going to open an envelope and do something, then they should have went on with the show, not left him there like bumbling in silence.
I just want to say like, leave the man alone. Like he has to issue an apology. What is he, 100 years old? Leave him alone.
He's 83. And this was what he said. He said there seems to be, and it's not really an apology, it's kind of like an explanation and a little bit of a go fuck yourself. There seems to be some controversy about my not mentioning every film by name last night before announcing the Best Picture Award. I just want to be clear, it was not my intention to omit them, rather a choice by the producers not to have them said again since they were highlighted individually throughout the ceremony. I was honored to be part of the evening and chose to follow the way they wished for this award to be presented. I realize being nominated is a huge milestone in one's life and not to be fully recognized is offensive and hurtful.
By the way, Al Pacino did absolutely nothing wrong. The only thing he could have done better, I don't know why he said, my eyes see Oppenheimer. Just say Oppenheimer. Like you literally had one job.
and say like, and the winner is.
Yeah.
The Oscar goes to.
Best picture goes to.
Yeah, just a little introductory. He buried the lead a little bit.
I know yesterday, my phone is listening to me because yesterday on the show I was talking about how, you know, Christopher Nolan's like a DILF. And I've ended up on like Nolan talk. Just a great place to be.
I saw this morning that all in all, Christopher Nolan made $100 million on Oppenheimer.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now for a director, is that a lot or a little? I'm assuming it's a lot.
I think it's a lot.
Oh, I feel like those are, you know, James Cameron type of numbers.
Yeah, well, I think it pulled in James Cameron type of numbers.
Who do you think is the greatest director of our time?
Kenny Ortega.
You're such a star. Like, that was the perfect answer. Seriously, like, end the podcast. We can all go home. Thank you. Clip it. Write it down. Like, my God, I never could have come up with an answer that funny in my life. Brilliant. Yes, brilliant.
Thank you. Who were you going to say?
And you're right.
And I'm right. He is.
No, I was just wondering, because I feel like every year there's like a director who's having a moment and they're like, oh, he's the greatest director of our time. It's either James Cameron. Who is? Like, it's, well, Christopher Nolan's up there. James Cameron's up there.
Quentin Tarantino's up there.
Yes.
Guillermo del Toro.
Yes. I feel like of all the people we've just named, I'd still say probably James Cameron.
Yeah.
Greatest directors of all time. Now, this includes like people who are dead. Oh, Scorsese, Spielberg.
Okay, Scorsese, maybe. For me, yeah, okay. I think for what I like, I've really only seen one James Cameron movie. So I would say Scorsese more.
Woody Allen, Spike Lee.
Oh, you had said Spielberg.
Darren Aronofsky. Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood.
But he's also an actor, more so, no?
Both. He's really a director these days, though.
These days.
Who else?
Francis Ford Coppola, but he's dead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, then Sofia Coppola.
Oh, damn. Not one woman on this list. Lol.
Greta Gerwig.
Greta's not on this list. The only woman is Catherine Bigelow.
Yeah, and she did Zero Dark Thirty. And I think she was married to or is married to James Cameron.
Oh, my God. We stand.
I think they're divorced and they like feud about their movies.
Love. I need a movie about that. Where's Nancy Myers on this list?
True. Yeah, she was married to him. She does like war movies, Hurt Locker.
Oh, wow. By the way, I'm so sorry. Francis Ford Coppola is not dead.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it.
Sofia Coppola is not on this list, but I don't think she's there yet.
No, but she's like a director that's buzzy with a point of view.
And with a legacy. Like she's a Nepo director.
Yeah. I think she holds her own.
What was I just watching about Francis Ford Coppola? Because I just saw a picture. Oh, Miles Teller, help me. Miles Teller, Francis Ford Coppola, help me. Come on.
Help.
What's the name? Come on, you know everything.
He's in a movie?
Show. Paramount Plus.
Oh, the one.
Come on.
About the Godfather.
Come on.
What's it called? The Offer.
The Offer. Wait, sorry, I was just choking. Yeah, it's like a show about the making of the movie The Godfather, and the person who plays Francis Ford Coppola. I guess I've never seen a picture of Francis Ford Coppola until I just did that Google. Twins.
With Miles Teller.
No, Miles Teller played someone else. He played the producer. The person who played Francis Ford Coppola.
Is twins with Francis.
With Francis.
FFC.
Right. Having like a three-name is pretty sick.
Like Vanessa Ann Hudgens.
Exactly. Don't forget the Ann.
Yeah.
Who else? Because I feel like you can either be like a Madonna, a Cher, or a Francis Ford Coppola. You know, there's really no in between.
Well, then you're just a firsty lastie.
Mary J. Blige, you know?
Yeah. Don't forget the J.
I literally would never. If you said Mary Blige, I'd say, who the fuck is that? You know?
Totally.
Hold on. You know, this iPad doesn't have diction, and I love to dictate.
Would you like to dictate on the show?
Yeah, like if I could just right now be like celebrities with three names. No, but I'm still typing.
Right.
Chad Michael Murray, Sarah Michelle Gellar,
Evan Rachel Wood. If you said Chad Murray.
Right. Jackie, who's this? James Jones.
James Earl Jones.
Right, like you only have to think about it.
I'm putting in the work.
Okay, who's Jonathan Myers?
Reese Myers.
Damn, okay, good job.
But just because we're having this conversation, I'm working to guess. But if you said Jonathan Myers randomly, I'd say Mike's brother.
Do you know Catherine Jones?
Zeta.
Good one. Olivia John?
Newton.
Rip.
Daniel Lewis?
Day.
She's crushing it.
Claudia, what about Robert Jr.?
By the way, I kind of like love Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, we should watch Iron Man.
We should, by the way, because Gwyneth is in it too.
And I think it's a good one.
Yeah, no, Ben loves it. And I just found out Robert Downey is Jewish. One of the
good ones.
I wish that like, oh, Anya Taylor-Joy. That's really part of her success. I believe it.
Not Anya Joy.
I don't know her.
No, she's also an incredible actress with a unique look.
I mean.
But it's the Taylor holding her up.
She's an incredible actress with a unique look, but it's the Taylor holding her up. Title. Also, a perfect example of someone who's literally so talented, but the three names really shot them to stardom. Mm. Wendy McClendon Covey.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Super talented.
Super.
Super. Are you ready for our next story? A little more Oscars adjacent news because recaps of the parties are coming out, and allegedly Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce rushed back from Singapore to attend Madonna's ultra-exclusive Oscars after party.
I doubt that they rushed.
Known as The Party, it was held at talent manager Guy Osiri's home in Hollywood Hills on Sunday. The party was sponsored by Gucci. It had a strict no cameras policy, which is why we haven't seen any pictures.
Not even from the outside? Like, come on, give us something. It looked fabulous.
Yeah, and apparently Taylor and Travis were there.
So was this like in direct competition with Vanity Fair, or people went after Vanity Fair?
I think it's like after.
God, aren't these people tired? They wake up literally at 6 a.m. to start glam.
Yeah, but I'm sure they're on drugs.
Oh my God, she's on fire today.
I'm sure, no, Claudia, I'm sure they just had a really big coffee.
Yeah. Maybe a 5-hour energy.
Straight from Colombia. They get their coffee.
Totally.
Yeah. Anyways, the party looked jumping.
Well, it didn't look anything because we didn't see it.
It sounds jumping, especially because that they would rush back for it. But I do find it a little surprising that like Madonna has the biggest party. Have you been seeing these clips from Madonna's concerts?
Of her literally screaming at a person for not standing up, and then the person happened to be in a wheelchair.
That's one of my least favorite tropes.
Me too.
You know, it's like, it doesn't feel good when you see what's happening. Not for anyone. Jackie, it's horrible for, obviously, the person in the wheelchair. It's horrible for the person on stage. It's also just annoying in general that one person can't be sitting at your concert. They don't even have to be in a wheelchair to have their reasons for not standing. They're there paying money. They're supporting you. They love you, okay? Like, can they sit?
Is that not enough? I completely agree. And then it also begs the question, like, what is going on at Madonna's concert that she has time to, like, have all the lights on and look around to see who's not standing?
Well, I also saw other footage from Madonna's concert and, like...
Here's the thing. And before you say anything, I want to say, whatever you're about to say, I echo wholeheartedly.
It was just, it's giving elder abuse. Like, who's making this woman do this? Didn't she almost die recently?
Yeah.
She had a really serious health scare.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, like dead.
And is it her that wants to keep singing and dancing? Because I'm watching these videos and it doesn't look like she's dying to be there.
No, I think it is. I think it's her. I think she also takes her role as, you know, elder gay icon, like extremely seriously.
Yeah, okay. So she's happy with this?
Yeah, no, I think and by the way, when we announced, like, she announced a tour, we spoke about it. I was like, what is she doing? Like, just retire. I don't think that there's, like, this machine, you know, Weekend at Bernie-ing Madonna. Like, I think Madonna's out there because Madonna wants to be. That's the vibe that I get.
Okay, okay.
I then really feel that way.
I hope that's the case. And in that case, you know, live your truth is all I can say.
The thing is, live your truth. And I've kind of made peace with the Madonna thing because I feel like every time we talk about it, some of our older listeners like really hate me. I am not like a huge Madonna fan. I think some of her music, you know, is catchy. I like the beat, but it's not for me. You know, and I know that it's really for like older women and the gays. And I like they deserve to have fun, you know? Yeah. And Madonna's like not letting them down. So
as long as everyone's having fun, then sure.
Yeah, I do. By the way, I do think everyone's having fun. Like, seriously.
Great. I love that. I take it back. Keep doing whatever you're doing.
Now, the calling out of the disabled, Now that was tough. That was tough for everyone involved. And then like her sort of, I kind of appreciate that she didn't just like bounce back afterward. She really sat in the moment and was like, that's, you know, my bad. Like it was really, I liked her bounce back. There's no good way to come back from that.
And I feel like sometimes they don't even understand in the moment that the person's in the wheelchair. So they just like keep going hard and then they learn after the person's in the wheelchair. So I'm glad that, you know, it was all sort of sorted out in mere seconds.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think she owned it. She said, oh, that's not PC.
Yeah. No, like she just kind of like said what we were all thinking. Yikes.
Yeah. My bad.
Yeah, that one's on me.
Yeah, and I guess that happens. But I do think, in general, like, people can sit at a concert for their own reasons. Not every person who's sitting, like, needs to be picked on.
It's also I agree. Insane. And that was kind of, you know, what I really liked about seeing Adele was that it's probably one of the only concerts where it's, like, mostly sitting. And you can stand, but it's not required. It's just a different experience.
Yeah, I like to sit.
Yeah, one time I saw Michael Bublé at the Barclays Center.
That's like, so off-brand for you.
No, it was so weird. It was before I saw that video of him and his wife on Instagram Live. You know certain things stick with me. I'll never see Michael Bublé live again. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you should Google it. Because I actually once a week will think about his wife and just worry for her and seriously pray for her. I feel like he's really scary. But prior to that incident, I saw Michael Bublé, Ben and I, date night. By the way, I feel like I've told this story on the toast. You know one of my favorite things about Taylor Strecker? Is, you know, she always talks about her first marriage. Do you know what her wedding song?
I'm assuming it was Michael Bublé.
Yeah, do you know which one? And she was like, it was so weird. Like, I don't know why. It was really emblematic of the fact that our marriage was destined to fail.
What was it?
Haven't Met You Yet. The whole song is about
literally, it's foreshadowing. It's foreshadowing.
And when that song comes on, she like always talks about it. It's so funny. Why was I talking about Michael Bublé? Oh, because I was like, you know what, Ben? I'd love to go to a Michael Bublé concert. I bet it's like a low-key sitting concert. The Michael Bublé stands. I'm sure you're unfamiliar with them, but he has like a cult following, older women, pussy popping on the dance floor. Like I didn't get one moment's rest at that concert.
Love that for them.
Yeah, it was giving very much like cruise ship energy. He should go on a cruise ship tour. Like I think that's his target demo, dead serious.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Everyone living their truth.
I need to go on a cruise.
Unironically.
I need to go on a cruise. Like I talk about it so much.
Yeah.
I just don't love the fact that like I can't end the trip early, like if I'm not feeling it. You know, I love having flexibility.
There's a lot.
On a spending freeze, so
there's a lot with the cruise that I have a hard time wrapping my head around.
You specifically, I would not say that a cruise is something you should do.
No, even though I love large iconic ships,
you do
from the safety of land though.
Land,
yeah. Land-ho.
Land-ho. What was the story?
I am a land-ho.
Big time. I'm a CEO.
The story was Taylor and Travis at this glitzy Oscars party.
Like, I care deeply. It's really hard for me to sort of speak on it without having seen one singular photo.
Okay.
And so I just want to say, I literally don't believe for a second that they rushed back. Taylor and Travis don't need to rush to anything. Like,
it's true. And she's on a 2-month break. So they're just like, they returned from Singapore and went to the party.
When he's off and she's currently off, where do you think they reside?
I would say they're gonna do like a stint in LA, a stint in Kansas City.
A lot of people think that
maybe some, you know, New York
around this time last year, Travis, after the Super Bowl, hosted SNL, and with Dead Poets Society coming out, they think that maybe we would get like a Taylor hosted and a Travis hosted Taylor performing SNL.
We should.
Like, if people know what's good, but nobody knows what's good, so we probably won't.
Right.
Like, people on the internet have better ideas for the culture than, like, the people in charge of the culture. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But sometimes...
Every now and then.
The two meet, or just one is influenced by the other, and that's good, too.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Matthew Perry's will names the executors of his estate in a $1 million trust with a legendary Hollywood link. So the press has dug up Matthew Perry's will, which
is so invasive.
Is public.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, for sure.
But according to a legal filing obtained by People, the will indicates that the majority of the late actor's belongings will be placed in a trust with a legendary Hollywood link. The document notes that he wanted to leave his items in the Alvy Singer Living Trust, which is seemingly named after Woody Allen's character in Annie Hall. His father and mother are named trust beneficiaries, and his half-sister is also a beneficiary. He indicated in his will that any children he had would also be entitled to access his estate. He never had kids. It also indicates that he had over $1 million in personal property when he died, which is in addition to what his executors had already put in a living trust.
Sounds like not a lot of money.
Yeah. Also, one of his executors is Mike Myers' ex-wife.
Who?
Robin Roseanne.
There were so many people in his book, girls specifically, who he dated, some who were famous and some who were more like industry people. And none of the names were the real people's names. And I really was waiting for someone to like put together a TikTok of like who each girl was, because I feel like I couldn't even figure out which one was Lizzie Kaplan. You know, he dated Janice Ian for like many, many years.
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't know which one that was. I feel like it was the one who we went to go see in the play in London. I don't know. But one of the sad parts of the book was him talking about how he never had kids. And it was something he wanted, but like his addiction really got in the way.
Oh, that is sad.
And I know he spent money really irresponsibly. He also said, you know, he doesn't even know how much money he spent on drugs, but he knows he spent about $7.5 million on his recovery in terms of like medications, nurses, rehab. Facilities, rehabs. But he's one of the highest paid actors on television. So I think they make like $25 million a year just from Friends residuals on like syndicated networks and stuff. So $1 million trust, like, thanks.
I think that's just one of the $1 million in personal property, but he already had living trusts, and trusts maybe aren't available to the public.
Yeah. And he also said like he wasn't the most responsible with his money. Like he was always just like buying new cars and new houses every time he got sober, because it was like like a need to feel something. And he was very afraid of being like alone and the house would freak him out. So he probably, you know, wasn't out of all the friends the most, you know, in the best financial standing, but it was a lot of money.
Right. But also like without children, you know, he spent his money and lived his life and enjoyed his life.
Yeah.
Even if there's this big pot right now.
Yeah.
Great for his parents and his half-siblings.
Yeah. He never mentioned at any point in the book money being an issue when it came to, like, drugs and stuff. It wasn't like a lot of – I forget what other book I read. Oh, Mike, The Situation.
You go he broke spending all
he
your
went
money
broke.
And, yeah.
He went broke. And that's how he ended up accidentally doing heroin, because he literally couldn't afford anything else. Damn. That book was so crazy. I can't recommend it enough.
Damn. I think I'll start reading some more.
Memoirs?
No, just like I feel like I only read right now when it's Redheads, just because I don't have a ton of free time. But just like I was able to watch Beverly Hills last night, I could have spent more time reading. So I think it's time to start reading more for leisure.
Okay, wait. Also, I had the craziest thought I wanted to run by you. I think in like a few months, it's going to be my turn to pick for the book club. And I had a crazy thought.
If we sync up?
No.
Oh.
I mean, that actually wouldn't be a bad idea, but that's not what
and
I was
then like
say.
All the Redheads could go to the Balabustas.
Oh my God, wait. They would love that. Okay, wait. But what I was going to say was I was thinking of choosing Demon Copperhead.
Yes.
Do you think I would like it?
It's an endeavor. It's like work and it's hard. It's long, but it's so good. And it was my best book of 2023. And those are the books worth reading. Like you will finish it and you'll be like,
exactly.
That was a good use of my time.
Exactly. And that's what the book club is for. Like real sort of ambitious choices, things I never would read. And I brought it up to some of the gals because I had dinner with them over the weekend and they, you know, they weren't thrilled about it. But that's the point.
Yeah. I remember in the beginning of the book, like I just felt like I never got into the book until I just I started just reading huge chunks just to like make headway.
Yeah.
And then I was in it.
Yeah.
So
if I don't do it for book club, like that's a goal of mine this year to read Demon Copperhead. How about that? How many pages is it?
I don't even think it's that crazy. It's just so dense, you know?
Yeah. That's for me, I'm really not like that smart. Like I can't read like really intellectually dense, like big worded books. And
I
just
find
sound, like, so stupid.
Neither can I. Anytime I like punch above my weight, I'm like, oh,
yes,
I'm a dumb bitch.
Above your reading level. Yeah.
This book is, but I was able to understand this book. Oh, 560. Okay.
Not bad. Okay. I thought it was like 1,000.
No.
I also feel like that's the type of book I'd like to buy hardcover, so like people in the airport know like I'm a smart girl.
For sure, but then you will never read it.
Oh, because like it's visualizing how many pages you have left.
As a Kindle reader, it's harder to get into a physical book for me, just is.
I agree.
And why would you buy the book that's going to be the heaviest book of all the books you read?
just so people in the airport know, like, I went to college, you know, like, I'm smart.
Well, you could also put your book cover on your Kindle.
Not the same. Not enough people could see it from far away.
Or get a t-shirt that said, I'm reading Demon Copperhead. What have you done today?
Maybe I'll just get a tattoo on my forehead. Currently reading, Demon Copperhead.
I think that's smart. Are you ready for our next story? It's our fourth story.
No.
I didn't think so.
No. The fourth story is brought to you by Hatch. Oh, spring forward, you guys. It's that time of year where our clocks are unwound. Your sleep schedule, your daily routine might be a little, you know, reached a hiccup recently. We're all excited to have an extra hour of light in the evening again, but we dread now waking up on that first morning after spring forward. The whole week is kind of rough. So this year, it's easier because we have Hatch. Hatch can help you choose sleep, prioritize healthy habits, and make the time change transition seamless and enjoyable. The Hatch Restore helps you build sleep habits that make you unwind and your wake routines so much simpler and enjoyable for a phone-free bedtime, no matter what time of year it is. Just add it to the list of things Jackie told me to get, and I took forever to get. I was like, it wakes you up with light? God, I used to be so dumb. I'm not anymore because I have the Hatch Restore. Thanks, Jax. Honestly, I'm a big fan of low-lift wellness things. Like, I'm not going to, you know, drink matcha. That's just too much for me. But things in the morning to help me feel my best and, you know, wake up restful, Hatch has been the absolute game changer. It's the best thing Jackie ever introduced to me. I love the sleep sounds. I really love being woken up by light. It is so civilized. I feel like that's how the cavemen used to do it, you know?
It's so natural.
It's so natural. I cannot recommend the Hatch enough. It's the best way to wake up. It's the best way to go to bed. With Hatch Plus, the subscription, you can access the latest routine building features like cue and unwind, which signals to you that it's time for bed, and pillow talk. So right now, Hatch is offering our listeners $20 off their purchase of the Hatch Restore and free shipping at hatch.co/toast.
Have you heard the new Hatch sleep sound?
That's hatch.co/toast to get $20 off and free shipping. hatch.co/toast. No, I haven't.
Green noise. It's the best one.
Oh, I'm on pink. I'm on my pink noise.
They have pink noise, brown noise, white noise. They just launched green. My favorite.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Fast Growing Trees. Did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? You can grow lemon, avocado, olive, or fig trees inside your home on top of the wide variety of houseplants available. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Jax, I know you're outdoor, you're kind of like a green thumb. Your new life allows you for things like this. I love a houseplant, an indoor tree, but you really have taken it to the next level.
I do. I have an orange tree from fastgrowingtrees.com. They make it so easy because you just plug in your zip code and they'll let you know what zone you are, your fast growing tree zone. And then you could see things that thrive in your zone. So you're not buying, I'm not buying like a pine tree for Florida.
Right, right. I love that. Mm-hmm. Right now, they have some of the best deals online, like up to half off on select plants. And listeners of our show are going to get an additional 15% off their first purchase when they use code TOAST at checkout. So that's an additional 15% off only at fastgrowingtrees.com and using the code TOAST at checkout. That link is fastgrowingtrees.com. The code is TOAST. The offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions do apply. You can also talk to a plant expert about your soil type, your landscape design, how to take care of your plants, and everything else you might need. So if you're not into plants, you don't have a green thumb, it's totally okay. They have got you covered.
Thank you, Claudia. Our next story, new celebrity skincare line. Dwayne Johnson debuts a men's grooming line called Papa Tui. So wrestler, actor, director, father, and now skincare connoisseur, Dwayne Johnson has debuted his men's personal care brand featuring skin, hair, body, and tattoo care products made with cleaner ingredients and focused on performance. Even more exciting, every product is under $10. It is launching in Target stores and on Target.com on March 10th. His impetus behind launching the brand is such. He said, quote, I found over the years as men, we can have these great conversations about working out, recovery, ice bath, sauna, and we can talk about trucks and cheat meals and tequila and our favorite movies, but every conversation I would have regarding skincare, I was always pulled to the side privately, like, hey, can I ask you a question? What do you do for your skin? So in an effort to normalize men taking care of their skin, he used his business savvy and charm to create a line that falls into the prestige bucket.
Okay, that explanation, like, I was about to, like, come on here and praise, and the explanation was, like, kind of stupid.
Oh, wait, that was going to be the opposite. You were going to come on here and clown, and the explanation was like, oh, okay.
No, I happen to think Dwayne Johnson is in a position where any brand he launches, his tequila is so successful. Any brand he launches, he's kind of just got that magic touch. People really love him. I think Papa Tui is such a great name. It being an exclusive collab with Target, I feel like this is pretty fail-proof. Like, I think it's awesome. Under $10, I love. But then that explanation, it's like, oh, we're ashamed to take care of our skin. Like, okay.
Yeah, normalize men's skincare.
Like, shut up, you know?
Yeah, and I don't think that men need to be as enthusiastic about skincare as women. I think that they should have something that they like, use good ingredients, but then continue on with their manly things.
Yeah, no, like, this is for the girls. Like, stop.
Yeah, it's kind
of... Can we have one thing?
Like,
it's
just like taking our stuff.
It's so true. Like, we can't have anything.
Yeah.
But Dwayne Johnson is just someone I actually really like. And nothing he does really bothers me.
Yeah, I agree. I also like the idea of tattoo care. Never thought about that.
I thought the same thing. And he's, you know, literally tattoo man.
Yes, of course. And it would make sense that your tattoos could use a bit of care.
Yes, also, I've heard of this. Like, your skin can stretch over time. The ink can dull. So, yes, I agree.
So, all in all, not a bad celeb skincare idea.
No, when I first heard the idea, like, I was like, what? But the more I thought about it, it's not a horrible idea. And he's going about it in a good way, like, in a really accessible way.
It's not like A-Rod men's makeup.
Hims, right? What was that company called?
I don't know, but it was, like, makeup, yeah?
Yes, when A-Rod launched makeup, find me the name of the company, because I do believe it's the company now, Hims.
Let me see.
Right.
A-Rod's new beauty line says about the rise of men's makeup.
Yeah, that picture of him, like, putting on concealer. Like, what was the company called?
Hims.
Hims. So, but Jackie, is that now the company Hims?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, he teamed up with Hims. Because Hims, that was the first time I ever heard about the
company. Shareholder.
So the first time I ever heard about the company Hims was when A-Rod was launching concealer. And I was like, oh, okay. But now Hims is an extremely successful company for men and women. They have Hers and Hims. And that you can get weight loss shots on there. You can get hair growth supplements.
You can get sex pills.
It's kind of like a big telehealth company.
Tackle anxiety. Great. And you know, a man's concealer, like, you got a pimple and you want to conceal it. I'm fine with that. I think A-Rod being the face of it is funny.
No, but by the way, like, literally women have perfected, like, go to Sephora, like, literally you could find every, what's different about a man's?
No, but it's just about the branding. It's the same way.
No, it's so dumb.
We have our own razors. There's billion-dollar businesses just built off of the fact that it's the same product marketed to different people.
But it wasn't a success.
A-Rod's participation. But you're saying Hims is.
Hims is. I'm saying the concealer wasn't.
Oh, the blur stick?
The blur stick, yeah. They couldn't even call it a concealer. It's giving fragile.
Yeah.
Like, whenever Ben has a crazy ass pimple, I'm like, get over here. Like, I will put NARS on it.
Yeah, the best of the best.
The best of the best. Like, seriously, why bother? You know, we've been at this for 50 years, more.
Because someone wants to make a dollar, Turdy. And they see a gap in the market.
I understand.
So they gave it a shot.
Yeah.
Our fifth and final story, a little human interest news.
Love.
Because a new report has come out from JobSeeker of the most popular jobs in the world. What certain country, what most people is their dream job in that country.
Start again. You just spoke not English.
Okay. JobSeeker put out a report of the worldwide most searched for dream jobs.
Okay.
So by country, what most people were searching for. It doesn't mean what everyone wants to be, because it's mostly like how to become a blank.
Got it. Okay.
For the United States, the most searched one was flight attendant.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Same for Canada.
Chelsea's influence.
Worldwide, the most popular one was pilot. Hmm. A lot of people want to become a pilot. Learn how.
I find that interesting.
Yeah, there wasn't as much like influencer as you
that's
would think.
That's what I thought that's what it was going to be.
There's journalist, author.
What's your dream job?
I'm living it. Podcasting with my sis.
Okay, but like for real, like outside of this.
It's hard to say. Like dream.
So dream.
Something I would actually want to do, or something I think I would be good at.
You actually would want to do, if given the opportunity.
And I would quit this for it.
Oh God. Okay. It's in hard. This hypothetical universe, the toast doesn't exist.
And I have to just go out and get a job.
I don't know.
Like, are you saying just practically or dreamy? You know, dreamy, it's naming nail polishes for OPI.
Great. Thank you. That was the answer I wanted.
Practically, maybe a teacher. You know, I would think I would excel.
No, not practically. Dream.
Dream lottery winner.
Not a job. Okay. Oh, naming nail colors for OPI. What would you name the color of, like, your sweater?
My sweater? Espresso problems. It would be my what? Line.
Oh, no, no, no. Universal. Come on. Espresso is would be better.
That's but, cute, yeah. too.
Universal. By the way, you could have done more universal, like Espresso Kennedy. Oh, Espresso Nassus.
That's cute. This would be a nice color.
It would. It's kind of what I'm wearing on my nails.
Or, you know, they would do, like, send me nudes.
Yeah, like this new vulgar culture.
Yeah.
Would do that.
Yeah, I guess that is vulgar. I wouldn't want my names to be vulgar.
Yours would be family friendly.
It would be family friendly. Birthday suit.
Cafe au lait.
Yeah.
What's your dream obviously job? Pop star.
True.
Like, would do anything to be like a popular pop star, by the way, not just like a struggling one.
But popular is not guaranteed.
I would want, why? It's a dream. We're just making stuff up. Like, I would want to be like a pop star with millions of adoring fans.
Okay, you're working your way there.
Yeah,
like, you could keep doing this, keep doing your comedy, and then, like, if your next comedy tour is like, psych, I'm singing for 2 hours, and you guys are going to dance along.
I would love, like, I don't know, something about just, like, being in a gorgeous look with a microphone and just nothing but me and the music.
I think you should do it. You should hoodwink fans into coming to see you, for one thing, and just start singing.
It would be called the Hoodwinked Tour.
Yeah.
I like that.
Me too.
So those were the Fast Five. That was our show. Anything else you want to chit-chat about before we let the peeps go? I mean, I do, you know, I have to make haste at some point. I have plenty of time, but I do have my running coach today. I need time to mentally prepare. Also, what should I eat before?
Carbo load, right? But not too close really? In advance. Like, you should have carbs first, protein after, I think.
Okay.
I think that's the policy. But okay. Not, like, load up. But if you wanted to have, like, a yeah. wrap, that sounds good.
Yeah. I'm really worried about, like, being in the park and having to poop. Like.
Okay. So guzzle your coffee and go before.
I did go this morning. Do you think I'll have to go twice?
It sounds like you're just worrying about stuff for the sake of it.
Yeah. No. Also, like, where do I put my phone? Do I bring a water bottle? Like, I don't know how these things work.
Well, some people, they have things where they put their phone, like a little fanny pack or, you know, an armband or something.
Yeah, I think I need to level up and get, like, an armband.
Or, like, an ankle thing. Or if you're wearing Lululemon leggings, they have those pockets.
Wait, no, I'm wearing Reebok, but I thought I saw pockets. Hold on.
The Lululemon ones have them, like, on the side of your leg. They're really good.
You're right. But, no, I'm wearing... Fuck.
And you got to hang on to it so it can track your steps. Otherwise, what's the point?
Oh, my God. Wait. Yeah, you're right. And I don't want to put it in my bra. Fuck, I don't think I have.
You can always hold it. I feel like that's what most yeah. people do.
I'm nervous. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not feeling confident.
That's why you're going outside. To train. It's just a training session.
Yeah.
Take it slow. Baby steps.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys, thanks for hanging out with us. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Thank you so much. So much. For listening to The Toast, the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the Fast Five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. Wherever you listen to podcasts, find us at Toast, leave a 5-star review, about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are.
Love ya. Bye.